Pressure and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Nurture and Support, the podcast where we share all of the awesome with all of you. We give you recommendations every week of some of the things that we find that we think are pretty cool, and we hope you think are cool too. And this is episode 53. We are starting a new year of Nurture and Support, and we're so glad to have you back. And also who's back is Kelly.
Hi, everybody. It's Kelly, at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter, and glad to be back for year two of Nurture and Support. So are we going to just kind of stick with the last episode and maybe for the next year just keep pointing back to old recommendations and say, yeah, that was a good one?
I think we should just rehash last year.
Yeah, we'll just kind of replay. It'll be a reboot. We'll try and recommend differently and introduce do-backs or something like that. So
yeah,
cool.
We'll reevaluate last year's recommendations and see how we feel about them this year, because sometimes time changes your opinion of how awesome something really is.
They're in putting together our we have a reference page on the blog that we're trying to keep up to date of all the recommendations we've made. So one, when we have a guest on, they can kind of scan it to see if their recommendation's on there, and just also for your folks' reference as well. And in the process of doing that, there has been a moment or two where I've reflected, mostly on my social media recommendations. I was like, I'm not so sure that was such a good one after all.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, somebody has a good day. It triggers a recommendation, and, you know, you may have been new to them, and you hadn't really seen the ugly side. And, you know, the full moon comes back around, and they get all hairy and mean. You're never quite sure when that's going to happen.
That's true.
I'm sure there are days people look at my Twitter feed, and they're like, who the hell is this girl? So, like today. Today would be one of those.
This would be one of those days.
Today would have been one of those days.
I'll have to go back and look.
I wasn't really real happy today.
Oh.
So, yeah, we should probably not look at that. But we're going to get on into recommendations, because that's what you all are here for. I'm going to tell you about what basically has been eating my life for at least the last week is a new game that has taken the place of pretty much all of my free time, and it is called Dragon Age Inquisition. It's the third game in the Dragon Age series from BioWare. It's put out by, you have to use the Origin player sort of service to play Dragon Age. It's through Origin, which is owned by EA, and all of that, or Origin owns EA, I should say. If you're not familiar with Dragon Age, kind of like you might expect from the name, it is a fantasy-based role-playing type action-adventure game. You get to pick from particular races, and you get to be a warrior, a mage, a rogue, which rogues can use both bows or crossbows, and also daggers, depending on what skills that you choose to level up as your character goes along. And you can be, you know, plain old warrior.
Yep, I've always tended to favor the rogue class in the various rogue, thief, those are always good. Crappy weapons, but moral attitude.
Yeah, I often have played, I've talked about it before, I think. The very first Diablo game, one of the characters was the only female character in the game, because you didn't get to pick between male and female, was an archer, and I really liked her. I do tend to like ranged classes, but I don't play like a ranged player. I always pick a ranged character class, and then I'm like right in the middle of a fight. So I don't do it right a lot of times, but you know, I always start out doing badly, and then as you go along and you learn particular skills, you get better at using them. But I always find myself trying to be in the middle of a fight, and I'm always having to remind myself, you're playing a ranged character. You're also, I tend to play a lot of mages these days, and it's like you have to stay back because you're weak. This game has a really, really excellent story behind it. And there's a lot of games out there that would try to say that. But if you're not familiar with BioWare, they put out Mass Effect is the other big sci that was a sci-fi series that they put out, and there are three games in that series as well. One of the cool things about the games that they do is that each game builds upon the next game. So it will, depending on how you played the first game and the outcome and the choices that you made in that game, when the second game came out and you started playing it, you get the option of importing basically your character, or in some cases, if the character itself isn't moving on to the next game, you can import the choices that your character made that affected the world. So it's kind of an ongoing story that you have something to do with shaping this world if you've played all of the games. Somehow I missed playing Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2 when they came out. I have gone back and played the first game in the series, Origins, but I have never played Dragon Age 2. But the great thing is, you don't have to be worried about it if you don't know what the story of this world is, because BioWare put out a neat little website that is DragonAgeKeep.com. And you can go there when you get the game. You can go there and basically create all of this backstory that you haven't played through. And it sounds really daunting. And when I first heard that, I was like, I don't want to spend hours sitting through here trying to make choices of a world that I don't know what's going to make sense, or what's going to make my game harder, or make it too easy, or take certain choices away from me. But when I sat down and did it, the game has a default world for people who have never played before, where they've chosen particular default state for the world that you're entering. And especially if you're not familiar with what's going on or the characters that are going in around in and around the game, because there are recurring characters that are showing up in this third game that have been in the previous ones. It plays kind of a little video that takes you through the story, and it doesn't take maybe 20 minutes at most. And you'll get all the backstory that you need to know to be familiar with the world and why certain choices are important. So that was a really neat addition, because a lot of these games are so big and so massive, you feel kind of lost walking into them when they're supposed to be telling you a story and you don't know what the previous story is, and so, feel like you're going to lose something. So this was a really good addition that they did to help catch everybody up if they haven't played, and it's been several years since the second game came out. People have a tendency to forget. We as gamers sometimes have a short-term memory problem. But the particular world that we're dealing with, there are humans, elves, dwarves, and this race called the Kinari, and they're very huge, big, giant sort of people with horns. And if you've paid attention online and have heard anything about this game, you might be familiar with a character who is very important in the game, who's called the Iron Bull. Now, the cool thing about the Iron Bull, besides him being this huge giant guy with big horns, is he's voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr., which is really cool. He does a really good job with this character, but this character is also very popular with the ladies. One of the neat things about BioWare games, if you're not familiar with any of them, is that there are romance options built into the game. So besides the storyline that you're this hero that has to save the world, you also get to try and if you're a girl or whatever, you get to try to have a romantic relationship with particular characters in the game. And this is an entire another quest line. I mean, you have to work at it. You can't just stumble through this and have it be, oh, by the way. You actually have to work at these relationships to get approval. So basically, I spend half my time chasing after this guy in this game who won't give me the time of day right now, and he's really starting to make me mad. But the Iron Bull is very, very popular. He is a romanceable character. And one of the things that they've really done in this game, I think this is the first game that they've done it to quite this extent, but they have characters that are bisexual, or strictly homosexual in this game as well, so that they're covering all of the bases of who somebody wants to have a romance with. And the Iron Bull will go anyway. So he is very popular with the ladies. He's
That's
very
big.
popular with the guys. He gets a lot of action.
So I think we got a new tagline for nurture and support. The Iron Bowl will go anyway.
He will go anyway. It goes from the culture that he comes from.
Ah.
But he's just a fun character. Once you do these particular quests through the world, you pick up certain agents that will join the Inquisition because, no one expects the Inquisition, but you are a member of the Inquisition. And this isn't the Spanish Inquisition that all of you might be familiar with. There's no Mel Brooks dancing his way through this game. The basis of all of this is that the veil between the real world people live in and like a spirit world has torn, and there are all these breaches symbolized by these green glowing sparkly things in the sky, and these monsters come out of them. You play a character who is the only survivor of a big explosion at a big cathedral that killed the head of this church called that they call the Chantry. It's the main religion of most of the people that you're dealing with here. And you're the only survivor, and you're left with this green glowing mark on your hand. Well, it means that basically you're the only person alive that can actually close these rifts that are popping up and pouring out monsters everywhere and trying to kill everybody. So when no one will help, when the church is trying to kill this person, the character that you're playing, you've kind of woken up in a world where the mages and the Templars are basically at war. And so besides that going on, you have all these rifts that have popped up all over the world pouring out monsters, and you're the only one that can close them. So because no one will help, some of the members of the Chantry declare an inquisition and basically break off from the rest of the church to close these rifts because they've decided this is the most important thing that we need to do or everyone's going to die. So that's where you are. That's the inquisition that you're in. So as you run around the world doing all these little quests, you will get the option sometimes of picking up new characters that sometimes are just agents of yours, but others of them are actual party members that can join your group. You don't run around this world by yourself. You always pick three of your agents that are actually at the capital with you to go with you. And you get to pick their gear. If you want to, as they level up, you can pick all of their stats. So you can really customize the people that you take out into the world to play with you. The Iron Bull is one of the characters that you pick up after you do a particular quest. And he's the head of a mercenary group called Bull's Chargers. And he's a big old flirt. But one of the funny things is that when you finally get him and he's stationed at your haven, your capital, this is one of those games where something's always going on. When you're walking through the little town, you hear all of these conversations going on all over the place around you. And if you listen, you can catch some pretty risque comments being made about the Iron Bull. And it's just funny. It's just one of those little nuances that just really cracked me up. I was running past this little group of women in the square, running to my war room, and I heard them say his name and start saying something. And I had to put the brakes on and back my character up to where I could hear them. And they were having a very interesting conversation about the Iron Bull, which was funny. So there's just fun things like that going on. It's really a great story that you get to change by the choices that you make in the game. And on top of that, it's a great hack and slash type RPG game where you get to run around and you either get to shoot things with arrows, or you get to chop them up with swords, or bash them in with sledgehammers, or you get to just burn them into oblivion because you're a mage. So the gameplay is really good. I've had a fun time really playing this game. I'm I'm not sure I should have checked how many hours that I have into this game, because of course Origin tracks how many hours that you've put in. It's something like 25 hours that I've put into this game so far, and I don't feel like I'm really even close to being done, actually. So there's a lot you can do. I tend to go around and do a bunch of the little quests and little things like that when I play these types of games. I don't just run through the main storyline. I like to wander because, you get to pick flowers. Your herbs are a big thing. You get to go pick herbs. You get to mine iron ore and Drakenstone so that you can make your own armor and cool things like that. And you also have to run around so that you find the schematics to make new armor. So there's just a lot of different nuances to it. And unlike a lot of the games that try to do things like this, it hasn't gotten old for me. And part of that is all of this little side stories that are going on that you can pursue or not pursue. There is absolutely no reason you don't have to engage in a romance in this game if you don't want to. It's just a fun little side thing that you can try to do, 'cause some of the characters are harder to get than others. Some of them are pretty easy. Some of them not so much. I'm really irritated with the dude I picked out because he is not cooperating. I'm gonna have to Google how I'm supposed to convince him that he needs to talk to me, because right now he won't even talk to me. So I've done something that's pissed him off. I don't even know what it is.
That'll make for an interesting search history.
Well,
Otherwise,
much like in real life, I don't know why this guy's not talking to me. Huh.
I've tried to figure out the allure of I've already established my challenges with any sort of interpersonal contact, and so to just have basically be able to translate that into game. Yeah, do they have an enemies of the state list in there? Can I do that? Because that would be pretty cool. Probably not.
No, but the fun thing is that you and it's fun and sort of irritating because in previous games they've made it easier for you to track who you've made mad. They wanted apparently for conversations to be more intuitive, and so there's not like a log anymore where you can look up and see how much what your approval rating is with a certain character. What you get is a little phrase flashes up on the left-hand side of the screen of a particular character. Like Varric is one of the characters. He's a dwarf. He incidentally has a very cool crossbow named Bianca, and he is the only one that can use Bianca. Varric is a rogue, and he's rather witty. And when you make snarky, sarcastic comments to people, Varric always approves, and that little phrase will flash up. Varric slightly approves. I just finished a quest where I think every one of my associates, except for two, greatly disapproved of what I did. And I'm like, I don't care. This is my Inquisition.
Sounds like Monday to me.
Right. So, it's not a game where you have to always do the right thing in order to be a goody two shoes character to actually win the game. You can be a jerk. It might change some of the quests that you're able to do. It might change some of the conversation trees that pop up because people don't like you. If this person's the only person that can give this little side quest where you might get some cool gear out of it, and they don't like you, you may never get it. So, but you don't have to run through there being, holier than thou so that you can be, the most exemplary person of the Inquisition. To win the game. So you can play the storyline and you can still be a jerk and Varric will like you. Varric will almost always like you, I think, if you're a jerk, because he's kind of like that. But yeah, I've really pissed off all of my advisors and pretty much most of the people that I'm supposed to take out to help protect me in the wild, because I'm a little mage and I need somebody to stand in front of me to take the blow. So yeah, but we'll see how that turns out, because that just happened before we started doing this hangout. And we'll see when I go back if anybody will actually talk to me anymore. But Dragon Age Inquisition, it's a really fun game. There's a lot of information out there about it. It's got great artwork in it. It does have single player And multiplayer. I have not looked into multiplayer yet. I'm trying to finish the single player campaign. But it's not just a PC game. I know I normally am only talking about PC games, but Dragon Age Inquisition is available on the PS4 and I'm sure the Xbox One. So you don't just have to be a PC player to enjoy it. And I've tried playing it with a gamepad and the keyboard. And honestly, I kind of felt that the gamepad was a little easier to do the movement, but those button combos, I'm just not a console gamer. I can't figure out all those button combos. I'm not that coordinated, so I have to go back to the keyboard to trigger my spells and stuff. So anyway, Dragon Age Inquisition by BioWare is available on Origin, and it's worth it just so you can go meet the Iron Bull. But you can do a few YouTube searches for the Iron Bull romances, and you will get some very, very amusing little clips of the Iron Bull's dialogue, voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr. And when you know that and you listen to what he's saying, you can totally hear him saying that. So it's fun. I suggest everybody at least go look up a video if you're not much of a gamer. There are some great videos out there, particularly of the Iron Bull because he's so popular. But there's a lot of other ones out there too for all of the different characters. So it's a fun game with a really great story. There's a whole line of books and comic books, and they put out a little animated movie recently, I think called Dawn of the Seeker, which is about one of your advisor characters in her youth. So they have a whole big franchise going on with Dragon Age, and I like the story involved. I have read through not all of the comic books, but I've read through a few of them. And I really like the people in charge of writing this game. I think they did a really good job, and I enjoy them. So at least check out a few YouTube videos if you're not a gamer, because I think you'll enjoy it.
Very cool. Well, this is I've looked confused as you were describing some of these things. It's because so just full disclosure, everybody, Mel and I don't spend hours and hours pre-planning the show. We got to do our homework and come in and share the information. So it's somewhat a surprise when we share the recommendations. It's the first time where we're hearing them typically for a show. Everyone's fault might be different, but most of the times it's that way. So the first one of the parts that threw me is you made a Mel Brooks reference, and I was fairly close to having a Mel Brooks recommendation. I wouldn't have been the one with Inquisition in it, but I'll maybe save that for another day. But as I go through mine, we will visit another quite surprising intersection between Mel's recommendation and mine.
It's
So
funny how that works out sometimes.
it does, and actually, both and my social media recommendation, I think, is going to play into this too. So it'll be interesting to see. But my recommendation, so this is like a shocker on many levels. Trying to, starting fresh, new year, in terms of nurture and support to go through. So I try and get. I'm recommending a television show that aired this year in
Uh-oh.
2014. It's a shocker. Began to air this year. And so typically I'll go back a few years for a lot of my recommendations. But I'm going to recommend Star Wars Rebels, which is a new series that is out. And it I've got boy, just going to kill myself in terms of recommendations that I'm forgetting now, the network that it's on. So give me a second. Well, it's a Disney distributed ABC type of thing. So Disney Channel, Disney XD. There we go. I knew it could come up with it. It is so it's in the Star Wars franchise, and I'm still a little murky. It seems like there's been some. There used to be the in the good old days, the Star Wars extended universe and some of the other fiction that came through, and there was kind of a point of saying, hey, we're going to consider some of this stuff canon and those types of things. And then I believe fairly recently, as they started to go into the next set of trilogies, they've kind of said, hey, all bets are off on that future stuff to kind of give them room to take the story wherever they want to take the story. So they've kind of wiped the slate clean of certain canon, potentially canon characters. Prince Exor and these types of things. So it's a little unclear how some of that's going to play out. But they have pointed to kind of certain franchises are considered part of Star Wars canon now, and that would be Clone Wars, obviously any of the films as well. And Rebels is considered part of Star Wars canon. And it Rebels in terms of time frame There's 20 years between episode 3 and episode 4, between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. 20 years. This is set 15 years after Revenge of the Sith, 5 years before New Hope. So we're coming right up. We're pretty close to Luke and Leia and the crazy hermit Obi-Wan on Tatooine. So we're close in that time frame. So that's the set. It's a computer animation, not a live action deal. Half hour shows, although they did a number of things. They did a series of shorts that are available, about four of them, that kind of build up some of the characters initially, and then when they actually started, the very first episode is closer to, probably an hour long if it was televised. It's around 45 minutes to 50 minutes in terms of when you pull the webisode down and watch it online. But they tend to typically run as half hour increments, except that first one, Spark of the Rebellion, is closer to an hour. Lots of interesting things about it. I wasn't necessarily sure. I liked Clone Wars. I liked the way, way back, the original cartoon Clone Wars they had done. And then when they moved more into the CGI animation one, I enjoyed those too. But I just didn't really know. This is really kind of the first Star Wars that's really coming out underneath the Disney umbrella. So I was like, I don't know exactly if I'm going to dive into it, but I watched an episode or two and truly began to enjoy it. And so I think it is definitely, if you're a Star Wars fan, I think you're going to like it for a lot of reasons. One of the main reasons is that the characters, in terms of how they design the characters, are based off of the original Ralph McQuarrie sketches. More so, or heavily influenced by the Ralph McQuarrie sketches. So what was originally like the first, McQuarrie's first envisioning of R2-D2 is the robot, there's an astromech droid in this that is C-110P, or Chopper, as he goes by, who basically follows what that original McQuarrie sketch for R2-D2 was. And Chopper is a handful. He is a very... very bad astromech, very annoying astromech, and will cause a lot of trouble. And he seems to be kind of curmudgeonly, kind of does what he wants to do, but cares about the crew. And so, but it's kind of a bit of a comic relief, but not in the painful Jar Jar Binks kind of comic relief, but actually fairly reasonable comic relief. So he
still can only talk in beeps and boops, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. And so, but it goes off the original McQuarrie sketch. There's five main protagonists in this group. Ezra Bridger, who's a 14-year-old, kind of he's a little bit of a thief and a scamp, and he's doing some things. And he eventually kind of doesn't trust anybody. Has been kind of orphaned for a while. Kind of gets pulled into the group and has demonstrated force abilities. And so this is fairly interesting because we'll get into this a little bit more because I guess he's the leader, but he's not the only leader of this group. Kanan Jarrus is a former, or he's a Jedi. And so the purge has happened and he's a human Jedi who's kind of put his lightsaber away and all those types of things. But all of a sudden he comes across and there's Ezra. So now he's going to start the training of Ezra. So he's a Jedi at least to this date, coming up to 5 years before New Hope, has not been purged yet from there. The irony is this character is voiced by, yes, Freddie Prinze Jr.
So he's everywhere.
It's just like, I was like, you started talking about Freddie. I said, I'm going to be talking about Freddie too. He does a very nice job. But he's not kind of, at least so far, not doesn't have the whole Iron Bull mojo going here.
Big, but sexy giant guy with horns?
Not quite. He does, and they still not exactly pin down the relationship, but then the next character is Hera Syndulla, and she's a Twi'lek. She's the pilot of the ship, very competent, kind of the most thoughtful of the group, kind of keeps pushing people, hey, you need to do this, you ought to think about that. So she's the glue that holds a lot of this together, also a tremendous pilot. And so there's definitely a relationship between those two characters, which may even be married, but it's not kind of been, but they're close. And they both kind of share in the leadership of the group. There's Sabine, who is a Mandalorian graffiti artist. So we've got
Nice.
someone. So she's kind of the. So that's where I started. Was to go. Okay, here comes the Disney, because it's like almost got like a Kim Possible look to her to a certain degree. She's got a little bit of dye in her hair, and she likes to spray paint everything. But again, incredibly strong character, explosive expert, and kind of does she does all these kind of. Different types of things to blow a lot of stuff up, and she's very good at that. And she's a Mandalorian, so she's kind of a good fighter, period, anyway. And so you've got that, and then you've got Garzeeb or Thelos or Zeb, who is kind of a big hulking guy who does not necessarily get along with Ezra. There's a lot of him and Ezra kind of fighting each other, not getting along to begin with. And so he's kind of a big purplish hulking guy, so he's closer to the Iron Bull without the horns, but he's actually based off the original sketches for Chewbacca. So they took kind of the Chewbacca sketch and they kind of pulled back some of the fur on that a little bit, but basically kept the structure and a lot of the types of things. So if you go back to the old Macquarie sketches and see the R2-D2, you see Chopper, you see where Zeb came from in terms of that. And so it's just kind of neat to see some of those things kind of coming back. Plus, given the timing, you get things like C-3PO and R2-D2 have already made an appearance and kind of got shuttled back into back with Bail Organa so that they can be in place for episode 4 where they
Cool.
need to be on that ship and all that. So good smart connectivity. Good so far, I said good interesting interplay between characters. Lots of if you're a Star Wars geek and some of the old history stuff, you get to see the Macquarie stuff come to life in different ways. You get to see a little bit more Grand Moff Tarkin's come up in some types of things, and so you start to see some of these connections. It's done, I think, fairly well. What I like, and what I figure you would like in particular, Mel, is that we've kind of talked in the past on a couple of recommendations that, hey, a show that has strong female characters sometimes is a little few and far between. This is definitely it. These are five people working together. They all contribute, but it's not like the guys carrying the girls or anything like that. They are basically all equals. And in fact, the show passed the Bechdel test. I don't know if
Amazing.
are you familiar with the Bechdel test, Mel?
I
Yes,
am.
because and I was not, but as I did a little bit of research for it, I found out that apparently the Bechdel test is the show has to have two women, they have to talk to each other, and they have to talk to each other about something other than a man. And this show does that without a problem whatsoever.
And knowing that, all of you should look at some of your favorite shows and see if they pass that test. You would be shocked how many don't.
Yeah, and this one does, and it's like I said, it's cool because it's a good diverse set of characters. There's not overt kind of stereotyping one way or another, and it's the Star Wars lexicon and lore and those types of things, and it's just kind of fun to kind of watch that advance forward. So I've really enjoyed it. You can it airs on Disney XD. You can go to the Star Wars website and go into the TV section, and you can see there's a delay from when the airtime is to when they're available for streaming online. But at least right now, I think they're about to air episodes 7 or 8. The first four are already up and available on the web to watch that way if you want to start to kind of catch up. And I think with a little bit of searching, you could find those four little quick previews as well, web previews to go through. So, and then each one of those, for each of the episodes, there's the episode to watch, and then there's usually a 5-minute companion piece, which is a behind the scenes thing, where they either talk about some of the Macquarie influences on some of the either the ships or the characters, or answering various trivia questions on different types of things where they go back into actually people tied in with Star Wars. So you get kind of a neat little trivia and backstory, mini DVD type commentary for each episode as well. So it's pretty enjoyable. You get a little extra kind of fun stuff in terms of the bonus content. You get Freddie Prinze Jr., which apparently apparently we'll be talking about Freddie Prinze every show of Nurture and Support from now on. It'll always be a Freddie recommendation. But it's enjoyable. I'm a big Star Wars guy. I'm still not bitter after seeing the trailer. There's some people that seem to have issues already.
Yes,
like,
there
wow.
were some people really getting upset about that lightsaber, and just deal with it, people. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it seems like with between lightsabers, well, they're not clones, and it's like, well, yeah, have you been paying any attention? They weren't clones anymore, you know, and it was the lightsaber, the clones, and then there's one other thing that they were grousing about. I was like,
yeah, but
really?
we don't even know if that guy is really supposed to be a stormtrooper or if he's in a stormtrooper uniform like Luke and Han were.
Yep.
You know, just because he's in a stormtrooper uniform does not mean that in a year when that movie comes out, he's going to turn out to actually be a stormtrooper. But who cares, even if he does?
Yeah, there have been some pretty funny photoshops of different iterations of that lightsaber, though, that
yes.
have come out. So some of those have been free. I don't really have a big issue one way or another, but there are no, so to date, in what I've seen here, there are no hilted lightsabers in Star Wars Rebels. However, from Star Wars, a unused lightsaber from Star Wars Force Unleashed has made its way into Star Wars Rebels.
Really?
And in fact, so there's also Inquisitors in Star Wars Rebels, which I believe as we get into this next series, the Inquisitors are going to be a factor again in the process. So they're introducing the Inquisitors a little bit, which are not Sith, but they're clearly not good people. They they do carry a lightsaber. And this one...
No one expects the Inquisition.
That's right. And this, you know, this is a, you know, if people had a problem with like a little hilt, this thing has got like spokes and wheels and it spins and it's a very kind of automated the Grievous lightsaber spin. It kind of gave me a handle and a little rever type of thing. So, so it's pretty cool. The Inquisitors, if I was to have a lightsaber, if you weren't necessarily super talented with it, this appears to make up for a lack of skill. It seems to give you a lot of additional capability. So
that's
so
the one
good.
I would need.
Me too. So I'm the Bechdel test passing Star Wars Rebels recommended. I think you'll find it pretty fun. You can find a lot of it. You can find it on Disney XD, and you can also find it via the Star Wars website. So that would be my recommendation for this week.
Cool. I had heard some about that, especially when that first episode aired, because I'm not sure if they aired it two nights in a row. There was something going on, I remember, about it. But, yeah, I haven't watched any of the episodes, so I'll have to get on that. I haven't finished Clone Wars, though, either, so I'm bad. I'm trying really hard not to get all excited about Star Wars, because I was so deeply disappointed in the prequels. So I don't want that to happen again. So I'm trying to maintain my distance.
Cautious optimism would be
yes.
be a way. I think there's probably, yeah. Oh, and I remember now, because I remember what the big three of people complaining about the trailer were. It was they weren't clones, the hilted lightsaber, and that the fact that the Millennium Falcon had a different radar dish. That it had gone from the round radar dish to a rectangular, kind of a lower profile one. Because if you remember, the round one got clipped off on Return of the Jedi. Got clipped. So it's a lower profile one. Less subject to getting knocked off, I would think. But, you know.
It's also upgrades. I mean, how many phones have you people been through in the last 5 years? And this is set how much further out from Return of the Jedi? Come on.
Yeah.
That ship is old. It needs constant maintenance.
That's right. Maybe that'll make the hyperdrive work better. Who knows? So.
I think it even had a different...
propulsion, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I couldn't think of a big word like that. Yes. So, come on. Get over it, people. Upgrades. Upgrades. If you're still driving the same car in 20 years, then I commend you, but I doubt it. So, well, cool. I love Star Wars. So if Kelly says that Star Wars Rebels is good enough for him, then it will be good enough for me. So I'll have to watch it. Cool.
All right.
So I think that leads us into social media recommendations. And I had to look this one up because I was almost positive that Kelly had already recommended this individual, but I didn't see it, and he's in charge of that recommendation summary page. So if this has been recommended before, then blame Kelly that I'm doing it over again. Kelly's a big fan of the hashtag game. I am a spectator. I'm not clever enough to very often participate in hashtag games, but my social media recommendation this week is excellent at the hashtag game. And we don't know what her real name is, but her Twitter handle is at PoobleMoo, PoobleMoo. And she's excellent at hashtag games. I'm not quite sure where in the world that she is, but I don't think she's here in the central time zone from her Twitter feed. But she describes herself as, let me see here, a frequent watcher of people, and sometimes I interact or even play with them, meaning her hashtag games. I like her. She likes science fiction, all kinds of stuff, but she is clever, clever, clever at the hashtag games and is always very appreciative of people that interact with her and retweet her clever things that she comes up with. And she thanks people for that, and I find that charming. So I am recommending at PoobleMoo this week, especially if you're a fan of hashtag games. You've probably already come across her if you're following one of the big hashtags on any particular day, but add her to your Twitter feed and you can find all new hashtag games that come out.
Yeah, those are the it's one of the best things about the hashtag games is you if you start to follow one of those particular hashtags that get set up, is people like her show up and you start to see and you start to appreciate they're just they're funny, they're interactive, and it's just kind of a really cool. It's, if you're looking to kind of connect with some of the coolest people on Twitter, watch a couple of those hashtags going for a while and see who's in there swinging away, and offering up some good things. And you can come across some of my best follows and longer connects on Twitter. We ended up bumping into each other the first time through one of those hashtag games. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm just a follower. I'm not good with the puns like some people out there. Kelly. So I just follow. I follow and retweet. Occasionally I'll get all brave and throw one out there and then it tanks and it's like, but it was funny in my head. So
There was
anyway.
a really good it was last night. I didn't do too many of them last night, but there was a I loved this hashtag. It wasn't a pun one, but it was describe a website badly was the hashtag, which I thought was just fantastic. So but the best I could come up with on that one is you can go to it to get boxes delivered to your house, was I thought to be a good description of a website, which was the Amazon Prime directive.
Amazon.
Yes, I was. I was describing Amazon as the place that can get boxes delivered to your house.
I
So.
tell you, I've never seen so much cardboard in my life since I got an Amazon Prime subscription. It's just so easy. And they try to start combining things into one box, but sometimes they're just like, screw it, I'm going to send you one order in six different boxes because it's shipping from all these different warehouses. And it's just like, I have to dispose of all this cardboard now, people. But I'm addicted to the 2-day shipping now, so I can't go back. Now, when I don't get stuff in 2 to 3 days from any other website, I'm mad. So this is what Amazon has done to me.
It's the directive. There you
Yep.
go. Wholeheartedly agree with that recommendation. Mine, I'm going to make it's a he has a Twitter account, but really my recommendation more is his YouTube channel. Mel, are you familiar? And I can't say his name like he says his name, so I'm going to say it like a guy from Central Illinois would say it. PewDiePie. Are you familiar with PewDiePie?
I don't think so. No.
Okay, so and this kind of ties back. We talked. We read me a recommendation a couple episodes ago around Twitch, and the fact you can kind of watch these watch gamers and watch them do dialogue over the games. And it's like, and you think, well, why, how's that fun? But it's actually pretty fun.
It's
And
amazingly entertaining.
so this is if that's me, if that's amazingly entertaining. You have people who are good at it. This guy is like the Elvis of gaming voiceover types of things. 35 million subscribers on YouTube. He
Holy
is,
cow.
according to Variety, the most subscribed to personal web YouTube channel on YouTube is PewDiePie. He's from Sweden, and he is just quirkier and all get out. He has a cute little pug named Jabba the Hutt, who gets a lot of footage as well. His most recent post, you're going to want to probably go see Mel because it's got a lot of Aaron Paul in it. He's showing various kinds of turbo types of things, and there's just a Aaron Paul head stuck on a character through there. And then you'll also want to go through the feed a little bit more to find his one on clowns. Do clowns scare you? Where he's playing a game that is like a – this one, he had like a virtual reality mask on, and he's going through there. I should point out at this point, not safe for work language in terms of it is adult language you're going to hear. Not gratuitous, not just vulgar to be vulgar, but if there are certain magic words you prefer not to hear, you're going to hear them a lot on PewDiePie. So just know going in that there will be language. I don't think it's done for shock. I just think it's how he talks. But the clown one was great because you're getting to watch kind of the virtual reality process of him going through a very dark carnival area, and eventually some of these nasty clowns jump out. And one of them jumps out and startles him so much, he flips back and knocks the virtual reality headset off. And then he's just trying to, and then they go back and they replay it in slow motion to show him doing it. And then they cut over to him holding Jabba, petting him, trying to recover. And so it's just very, very cute stuff. So he is a hoot. He's gonna be what South Park is billing as their biggest celebrity guest ever. I guess he's going to guest on a South Park here, if not this week, soon, where, again, it's this theme of why would you listen to somebody else talk about doing something and all that. So PewDiePie is going to be on there. But it's quirky, but Jabba the Hutt's a cute little guy. And I found it pretty hilarious, and I thought the clown one was excellent. It was cool to see the Aaron Paul stuff. And so it's loud and noisy and funny, and he is hilarious to hear because it's just kind of a stream of consciousness kind of thing. And 35 million people seem to be interested. So
can you spell his name?
Yeah, that's PewDie PIE. PewDiePie.
PewDiePie. No, I don't think I'm familiar with that, or if I've seen it, I certainly didn't have any idea what his name was or what his handle was. But I'm obviously going to go look that up. I don't know about the clown thing, man. That might traumatize me too much.
And you know it's coming because, you know, it's narrow corridor, turn, and it's the whole setup. Oh, big lung process. You go, what are these corners I'm going to turn? And it's not going to be... there's going to be something there, and sure enough, it's about that one. I think's around between 5 and 7 minutes long, and the VR set tossing kind of process occurs fairly late in it. But it's worth a look. But that would be my recommendation. I can't say it like he says it, so I'll just say PewDiePie. So.
Yeah, there was an old Aliens game from years ago. I don't remember which Aliens game it was. It may have been Colonial Marines, but at the very beginning of the game, you're walking through this dark warehouse with all of these tall shelves of stuff on them, and it's pitch freaking black, and you just know a face hugger is going to jump out of somewhere and jump on your character, and I couldn't play it anymore. I had to stop, and I'm like, a good thing that game was free. I got it with a video card I bought, I think, and I didn't actually have to pay for the game because I couldn't play it. So
yeah, it's amazing, some of those game ones, because I remember playing Unreal. I think it was may have been the first Unreal. And there's one point where you walk in and you turn the corner and there's an incredibly long hallway and it's all lit and you're really good. And then you take about two steps in and then you start hearing click, 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 and the lights are going out. And it's just coming closer and closer. And as soon as you are now immersed in complete darkness, they hit you with the roar and now you got problems. So
Yeah. I loved Unreal and Quake, though. They, most of the time those games were lit pretty well, but they did that to effect on those. And I didn't have so much a problem of it being the whole game like that. But some of those games where they do that the whole time, I'm like, I'm supposed to enjoy this and you're stressing me out. Between the music, the creepy music, and I'm walking down somewhere where I know something's gonna jump on me, it's like, no. Nope. I'm supposed to like this. I'm supposed to shoot things in this game and enjoy it, not fear that something's gonna drop on my head and eat it.
Man,
So
that's why the BioShock series, man. Just walking through that environment, which is creepy and dark and shadowy, and then the things are going to attack you. You actually hear them murmuring and talking and rustling around you, and you're like, oh, crap. This is not going to be good.
Yeah, those are some of the ones you don't actually want to wear the good headphones for to play the game where you hear everything. It's sometimes best to just not hear some of that. So, anyway, but yeah, that was fun. So, I'm definitely going to check out Star Wars Rebels. I've wondered about all this if they're actually going to put that stuff on Netflix, given that it's Disney. There's not a lot of Disney stuff on Netflix. They like to keep their stuff in house.
Yeah, although lately I've seen a few show up, a
Have
few of
they?
their titles show up. So I mean, I think they're, but not anything recent, not anything
Yeah.
good, but it's a lot of, I think like the Black Cauldron might be available in some of those things, but
Hey, they've got Robin Hood up on Netflix.
yeah.
And that Not Nottingham song, it's one of my favorite songs ever. I still walk around singing Not Nottingham. So there you go. Robin Hood as a little fox. It's so cute. Okay, well, I think we're going to turn it over to Matt, who's going to tell all of you how to get in touch with us if you should have a recommendation, or you have a positive comment you would like to tell us or give us your take on scary corridors in games. We would love to hear it. So Matt's going to tell you how to do all that, and we will be back next week with more recommendations.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's NURTANDSUPP @gmail.com, or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Nurturing and supporting. Turn it.